I felt like today our guys played fast. They played physical. We were good in all three phases. There's a lot to work on. We got a lot coming out of this. But to get a 33-point win on opening day is a good deal.
I think we needed that bonding moment right before the first game to get everybody to come together as a group.
I think we improved in a lot of places this year. I think we're focused on the process of winning this year, so we're always looking forward. But I think this year we have something special.
You are now inside the Monarch Asylum.
A fresh take from one of the most diehard alums, born from the layout tables of the Mason Crown and raised in the studio of WODU. Now he's back, all grown up and ready to lead you into a discussion about Old Dominion sports. Here's your host, my main man and yours, David Augadello.
Hello, Monarch Nation. I am David Augadello. I am the host of this podcast, the Monarch Asylum Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Year 2, episode 2, so we got the number 22 working. That is the number I always wore all through high school, and whenever I play any sport, I'm number 22, so that's a little lucky for me. Once again, you can follow me on Twitter, at ODU Asylum, or on Facebook, just search Monarch Asylum. There is a Monarch Asylum butterfly page, so make sure you click the right one. I figure you'll figure it out. The voices you heard at the top of the show, Bobby Wilder, obviously happy with the win, as he should be. The next voice you heard was Anthony Wilson, senior linebacker, talking about that extra time in the hotel helping the team. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. And the last name you heard, voice you heard, was Isaiah Harper, sophomore wide receiver, talking about the confidence this team has. And there's no doubt they have a lot of it after all the success they've had in practice and that first week against Hampton. So this week, all is right in the world. ODU's 1-0, first win of the year over Hampton, 54-21. Managed to get to that game, which is a bit of a rarity for me, especially for a home opener. Just my schedule worked out perfect, so it was great to get home again, see some family, but also to see a bunch of faces at ODU that I haven't seen in a while. Some local TV broadcasters, of course, Brian Parsons, you know, a guest of the program, Scott Cash. Good to see Carol Hudson again. Carol was the main SID when I was in school there covering the Lady Monarchs. Even some old buddies like Chris Decker, Jeff Myers. Just good to see some people I haven't seen in a while. Even had a chance to meet Nick Clark's grandfather, who when I was trying to advertise the podcast told me that he listened to the first episode and he liked it. And it's no surprise he listened to the first episode. Nick was on the first episode. So I want to thank to some of everyone I met a lot of new people. Hopefully there's some new listeners right now. I also like to thank the people that I advertised the podcast with, but said they were already listeners. So I really appreciate the kind words. Like I said, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, The Monarch Asylum, thank you very much. I want to tell you a little bit about who I am. My name is David Augadello. As you know, I am an Old Dominion graduate, 1998, former Mason Crown sports editor, former WODU DJ. Then we weren't really broadcasting at the time, but we still did games. We still did our shows. We didn't get many callers in. That's another story for another time. At my peak, I was covering the Lady Monarchs in the NCAA Final Four. I still cannot hear Rocky Top to this day without wanting to punch someone in the face, so don't play that song around me at all. It brings back bad memories. Started my career at Wavy and WTKR, and in 2003, I moved to beautiful Miami, where I've been working as a sports photographer for the last 13 years. Cover the Miami Dolphins, the Heat, the Hurricanes, you name it. I cover it, and I'm actually really hoping for ODU to beat App State this week, because next week App State gets the Hurricanes, and then if App State could beat the Hurricanes, well, then I've got some major bragging rights, so I really hope that happens. So Season 2, Episode 2, we have a lot to talk about, so enough about me, let's get to the game. Let me just tell you, it was a beautiful day for football. Wow, it's Saturday at 6, it was rainy and dreary, and Sunday at 3:30, it was just a beautiful day. Great cloud coverage, just a beautiful day for football. Little breeze, but really, you couldn't ask for any more. The flooding, it was a right decision to lay it a day. I had a chance to talk with Bruce Stewart a little bit on Tuesday. He's the senior associate athletic director, and it was ultimately his decision to postpone the game. And it was the right decision on two fronts, not only for the ease of the fans to get to the game with the flooding, but it turns out the players really liked the extra day. Talking to a couple of the players, specifically Aaron Young and Anthony Wilson, the extra day helped them. They think it brought guys a little bit closer together because, you know, they stay in a hotel on nights before the game. So they had to extend the stay in the hotel. So they were all basically doing team stretch and playing Monopoly and playing cards. So that really, some of the players feel that really helped them. I guess it was like a little slumber party before the first game of the year. So they felt that did help them. And maybe it did bring the team a little bit closer together, which is, you know, that's always a good thing. But the team obviously happy with a big win over Hampton. Great way to start the season on the right foot, 54-21. And Bobby Wilder was pretty happy after the game.
The last time we played, the last time we were here, we missed out on going to a bowl game by a couple points. That motivated us through the offseason to remember that feeling of what happened. And to come out today and get a 33-point win, really proud of our guys.
I know it's great to start off 1-0. I think that defines a team. You know, the start off 1-0 builds a lot of confidence for the next games to come. So now getting a good win like that is going to be great for the season.
It feels good going through all the fall workouts, summer workouts, winter workouts, and just coming out here. I know a lot of the guys had like little butterflies coming out, so it was good to get that out and just come out here and just have
fun. Show folks we can get it done. We can put points on the board, we can take away points, we can turn the ball over, we can score points, and I think we're a stout team. I think that's what we told everybody today. We're here to play.
That was Ray Lowry talking right after Bobby, talking about the great start the team had. Zach Pascal mentioning the butterflies, and Aaron Young, the cornerback, really echoing a sentiment I've heard from many players that they feel that they can get it done this year. It's a different team. They're bigger, faster, stronger, deeper, and a lot more confidence. So that is a recurring theme I've been hearing from these players. Right now, let's get into the game recap. Well, if you happen to be in attendance, you know that it was a beautiful day for football. Kickoff just after 3:30, some clouds in the sky, perfect weather, really not much humidity, and just a perfect day for football, a little breezy. Hampton goes out, wins the toss, defers, and that looks like it was a mistake, because after a nice opening kickoff of 41 yards, well, the offense went to work.
David Washington passes near side, caught by Ray Lowry across the 45, near side, 50, he could be gone, 45, 30, 20, 10, one play, one score, touchdown!
Welcome to 2016 indeed, Ray Lowry.
It was a great play. You know, I knew from the beginning it was going to be open. You know, the wide receivers out left, Travis Fulgham. I think with John Duhart did a great job opening it up, and I just saw the seam and took it all away.
I mean, it's a play that I like. I asked Coach Scott a couple days ago. I was like, one of the first couple plays, can we throw like some type of screen or something just so I can get into the game and get my confidence up so I can throw a completion? And he was like, okay. I didn't know that he was going to do it the very first play, but hey, I'll take it. It was a very exciting first play, and I loved it.
Well, if David Washington wanted to get comfortable early, it definitely worked. You got to give credit to the coordinator for calling a play that David wanted to run so early. I mean, figure, why not? If the quarterback wants to run a play, then let's run the play. If that's the play he thinks that's going to make him feel comfortable, then call the play. Let's get him feeling comfortable. And it worked. David had a big fist bump after that. And once Ray Lowry caught the pass, you could tell he was gone. He was right around the corner. The defense came right out after that, gave up a couple big plays, a big play action on the very first play. And then several plays later, Hampton takes it in the end zone to ties it up at 7. But the ODU offense would get going. Baby Bull, once again, for those of you new to the podcast, I call Ray Lowry the Baby Bull. He would put another touchdown up, and the Monarchs would end the first quarter up 14-7 on the strength of two Baby Bull touchdowns. And he was going. He was running. He was feeling the groove, because starting the second quarter, he came out and ripped off some runs of 19 yards and 10 yards to set up this score.
Washington with three wideouts to the far side. Now it's a straight drop back, looking near side. This is Pascal. Pascal goes up, makes the catch, touchdown, Old Dominion. Oh, that's why he's an NFL prospect. Just went up over the defensive back. They're barking about pushing off, but the ref says not this time. It's 20-7, Old Dominion.
The play was for me to stand right there, but I looked at Dave, and he checked it, and he gave me the signal to go fade, and once he checked it, I just knew he was going to throw it. When he threw it, it was back shoulder, so I just tried to make a play on it, and fortunately, I did. It was a touchdown, and I was happy for that. Me and Dave, I don't know if that connection will ever go off. Me and Dave know exactly where the ball is going to be thrown, where I'm going to be at the right time, at the right moment. So
it's a nice little connection.
It's nice when you can see that kind of connection between your wide receiver and quarterback, and it probably should be there, being they're both seniors. I know David hasn't been playing quarterback his whole time there, but they have enough of a relationship that they should be able to have those kind of look at me plays where you can look each other in the eyes and kind of see how something is and maybe go something off the cuff. I wonder how much Bobby, I guess he doesn't mind it when you're scoring touchdowns, but I wonder how much that is part of the offense. But you really need that. And that really helps an offense when you, if you get a little questionable or a little confused by a defense, that you have players that can do that. You know, and Washington wasn't done, and he has other favorite targets. Two possessions later, they found pay dirt again.
Washington back to throw, rolls to the near side, has a man if he wants him near side, that's little, but instead he goes for it all. Duhart catch, touchdown, Old Dominion! Oh, what patience from Washington, waiting for Duhart to uncover in the end zone, and then he put the ball right on the money.
I was kind of just waiting for him to turn the corner and get open from the receiver. And once he did, I knew I was going to put it in his area and he's going to go get it.
This was a very nice play by David Washington. He was very patient. It was the rollout. He was saying he had a man in front of him, but he was patient. He waited. I remember when I was watching this play, because there was a defensive lineman chasing him down. And part of me was thinking, when are you going to throw it? And well, he threw it right on time and he put it right where it needed to be. And ODU, the offense was clicking at that point. Three touchdown passes for David Washington in the first quarter and a half. And the only next question was, where are we going to see this quarterback rotation that we've been talking about? Bobby Wilder had mentioned he's going to play all three quarterbacks, so when was it going to happen? Well, it happened at the end of the first half. Shula Bentley got his first action with about 3:18 in the first in the second quarter. He missed some throws, but he moved the chains. There was a couple throws he should have had, but he moved the team into field goal position. And Chris Kirtley lined up, the injured Chris Kirtley lined up, and kicked a connected from a 21-yard field goal, but then hobbled off the field. And I got to be honest, it didn't look good when he left the field. He left in pain. He was seen by the trainers immediately, and if you study body language, hands on the head, heads in the hand, sitting up, just a look of desolation. He did not look good. And I actually saw him walking on Tuesday, limping out with a bad limp out of the training center. And I don't think things are looking good for Chris Kirtley. So we'll talk more about that later. But his field goal alone put up ODU 31-7, and it looked like the route was on. I mean, I really thought it was ODU was going to run away with it at that point, but they didn't. We got a next look at Blake LaRussa after that field goal. Blake LaRussa had the very next set of downs for the Monarchs. He got the ball late in the second quarter, and he looked less than impressive. 0-for-2, and a fumble, and it just was not. He missed a pass. One was behind it, and another one wasn't close, and then the fumble. So that's the only time we saw Blake LaRussa, though I thought we'd see him later in the game. We didn't, but our first peek at Blake wasn't good. But there had to be some nerves in that, having played in competitive football in a couple years and being put into a game like that. So I'm sure that'll go a long way toward relaxing him the next time he's out. And then finally, to end the half, the Monarchs give up a touchdown with 1 second on the clock. Yes, 1 second on the clock. And they go in halftime up 31-14. Starting the third quarter, Pirates get the ball. They go on a long drive, 6+ minutes, 13 plays, 72 yards to cut it to a 10-point lead. And I got to say, I don't mind when teams score if they work for it. And that's a lot of work to do, 13 plays, 72 yards. The defense was not giving up the big play, which I can live with. I don't like the big strike plays. So the defense was really settling down and really kind of defined its groove. So not only did they make them use 13 plays to go 72 yards, they actually started scoring too. First, they forced a safety on a bad snap to the punter out of the end zone. He ended up kicking it out of the end zone. And then the defensive secondary got in the scoring mood.
Williamson in his end zone, standing on the A of Monarch, back to throw, pressure, throws the ball, pass is picked off, and it's a touchdown! Aaron Young, TD!
It was a great play. Actually, it was called by our coach Bugs, our safeties coach. He asked me to make sure I front on number one inside and get my eyes back to number two, and I did exactly that, and it came right to me.
That would give ODU a 40-21 lead. Aaron Young joins Craig Wilkins as the only two players to ever have a pick six for your Old Dominion Monarchs. Let's go to the fourth quarter where David Washington would throw his fourth touchdown pass of the game, finding tight end Joey Verhey early in the fourth quarter for a touchdown, and he was just completely wide open right in the middle of the field. So David Washington gets his fourth touchdown of the game. By the way, tune in later. I will have a trivia question, so don't be sure to tune off this just yet. Listen all the way to the end. I will have a trivia question later dealing with the tight end catching the touchdown. We have some great sponsors I want to tell you about, so you have a chance to win some gift certificates. So be sure to listen all the way through to the podcast. But once again, David Washington throws his fourth TD of the game to Joey Verhey. And ODU was rolling. And finally, Jeremy Cox chipped in a nice 12-yard touchdown run for the final score with about 9 minutes left in the game. And then freshmen would come in and get some experience and help play out the game. So final in all, the final score, it's all said and done, 54-21. The defense pitches a shutout in the second half. They actually outscore the Pirates 9-0 in the second half. So it was really a good all-around performance. Not perfect. There are some issues that arose that we will get into coming up right after the break.
High on the bell tower, I took my view over the downtown from the avenues where the streets are.
Okay, let's look at the offense. I think the offense was about what I think that's what they want to see this year. I think that's the right balance that Bobby Wilder's going for. They ran the ball 38 times for 247 yards. They threw it only 29 times for 253 yards. I mean, you can't get much more balance than that. I mean, you're 6 yards off. So that's the balance this team wants. And we saw a lot of play action using the run, setting up the run, which everyone knows is ODU's strength, to set up that play action. And you saw that with the rollout, and you saw that with a couple other plays that set up big plays for ODU. But that's thanks to the good running of Ray Baby Bull Lowry. For those of you guys new to the podcast, that's a nickname I'm trying to get to stick, the Baby Bull. That to me, that's how he runs. You stand next to him, he is in great physical shape, but he's not a real big guy. And it's amazing how he can run away from people and even shed some tacklers with his size. So I call him the Baby Bull, and I want the Baby Bull to run loose as often as possible. Great day for Lowry. It was at 110 yards on the ground. You know, two catches for over 60 yards, including the home run on the pace setter on the first game of the first play of the game. And he really had a good first half, and you could really tell that it changed the defense, because once they started having to commit a little more to stopping the run, it opened up some of the passing game for David Washington. Listen, the backup running backs look good too. You got to love Jeremy Cox, just the kind of the aggression he runs with. You know, he'll drop that shoulder and take a hit. And I really liked Mariner. Mariner's a nice change of pace back, a little bit more of a scat back, and a little more elusive. And so it offers really three different style running backs, which is a great weapon for Bobby Wilder to use in this offense. Passing, David Washington, 10 of 18, really pedestrian completion numbers and yardage, 187 yards, but four touchdowns. I mean, talking about taking advantage of the big play when it was there, you know, Bobby will take those numbers all day long. Shuler Bentley, only 4 of 10 for 66 yards, and Blake LaRussa, 0 for 2, including a fumble. So really 14 for 29 overall, and to be honest, there were some pass plays left on the field. A couple plays behind receivers, not many drops, a couple low throws, one or two overthrows. So of that 14 for 29, they easily could have had six more completions, which really would have added probably another 50 yards and then put an ODU way over 500 yards of total offense. So that is something, you know, that's something that coaches can show on the videotape when they're showing these guys particularly. But, you know, that's probably expected with the first game. Hadn't played in a while, have some nerves. You know, you want to, you know, that's why you like these first games like against Hampton, so there's not too much pressure early. I want to talk a little bit about the offensive line. Listen, they did a very good job, albeit it is against Hampton. They're going to have a much tougher time in the next couple weeks. But to not give up a sack, any sack, and to keep those guys clean is really, really good. I mean, David was elusive. He was did have an opportunity to run out of that. But that's kind of how it works. When you have an elusive quarterback, you know he's going to tuck and run if something breaks down. But to not give up a sack is really something this offensive line can hang its head on. And David Washington even said after the game that this is the best offense of line he's ever played with. So he does understand why people are kind of questioning him, which is understandable. And I could see how it is the best line he ever had. They looked more athletic than they did last year. They looked a little bigger and better shape. And that's really going to help with some of the speed rushers that they will see as it goes on. Now, the tight end, we saw the tight end in action all over the place, but Melvin Vaughn didn't have a big day, but he got his feet wet first time in a year, took some hits, gave some hits, had one catch on a little wide open screen play that was good to see, but they had him all over the place. He was playing split out. He played some slot. He played some H-back. He played some traditional tight end. And he was all over the place. And Verhey was kind of the same thing. And I think that's the style of offense they want to run. We talked about it before, that we can, that multiple set with the same guys is something that a lot of teams do, try and do. And if you can find the right personnel, you can execute it. Defensively, after kind of being a little slow early, especially in the secondary, they really, really tightened down. Like I said, a shutout in the second half, including scoring 9 points. Rashad Coward was just looking like a bully on the line. You could tell he was getting under the skin of some of the Hampton players, got a little chippy at times. And if I told you, 4 sacks by the defense, 4 sacks, one by O'Shane Zimenez, Tim Ward had one, and Daniel Poe had 2. What I like to see out of that is it's the 2 names that we weren't talking about before the season started. I mean, we mentioned Tim Ward, but he wasn't part of the main 4. And Apo wasn't even barely mentioned. So to get that kind of production from guys who aren't really the name guys, it shows you what kind of depth this defensive line does have. And they were talking about that depth all year, all offseason. So the depth is there. And just 10 total tackles for losses by this team. I mean, that's how you stall drives. Put teams in second and long and third and long. And with tackles for losses like that, I mean, you're getting 10 tackles for losses. That's 2 drives a quarter have a put them in a long yardage situation, and I'll take my chances like that with that kind of production. Now, as far as the secondary, did look a little shaky early. A couple times they gave up some long passes on third down, on third and about 8 or 9. They gave up some passes for first downs, got burnt early on a deep play. But they really settled down. I think part of that was when the Pirates had to kind of go one-dimensional and throw the ball to come back. It's a little easier to pin your ears back. But they were a little slow early, but rebounded nicely the secondary. And Aaron Young even mentioned that after the game. It was like, hey, it's the first game, getting some of the nerves out, kind of getting used to playing with some guys, getting used to the rotation. So he wasn't as concerned, and I wouldn't be either long term. He only gave up 21 points, but the receivers are going to get bigger and more physical as we go on. Now I do have 2 concerns. The first concern we talked about, and they actually joked about it, some of the players after the game, and that's David Washington needs to learn how to slide. Like, okay, I screamed at the TV a lot when I was watching Michael Vick do this same thing. You run for 15 yards, why drop your shoulder for 2 more? Slide and take the 15 yards. He took some big hits, and, Bobby Wilder was not happy about it. Bobby Wilder actually benched David Washington because of that. I think Shuler Bentley was supposed to start the second half, but he came in early. And he came in with about 3 minutes to go in the second quarter because David Washington got benched.
What I was disappointed, and the reason I pulled him right before halftime was, number one, he had already tried to run somebody over to score a touchdown, and, he's not allowed to do that, similar to what we used to tell Heinicke. And then the second one was before the half on their sideline, instead of going out of bounds and preserving the clock, he tried to run somebody over again. That's why he got pulled. So it's a work in progress. People don't realize he hasn't played a lot of quarterback at Old Dominion. He played 4 games last year. He played mostly wide receiver when Heinicke was here, but he is explosive. he's got a shot to do really good things. Just got to keep him healthy.
Washington knows he needs to learn to slide.
I got hit pretty good a couple of times, so it was good to see that I can still take a hit. So
can you feel the fans in the stands and some of your teammates saying, "Slide, Dave, slide"?
Hey, all the time. They're being really strict on me, and I need to be strict on myself.
Is that something just hard as a competitor? I mean, you don't really think of that because you want to fight for every yard. So you have to, like, rewire your brain a little bit?
It's something I have to think about before each play. I just have to tell myself, if you run, then you need to slide or go down. Slide or go down, go out of bounds. So, I mean, as a competitor, once you get in there, if you try to go in there and just do it automatically, it won't happen. I have to think about it before the play and prepare myself.
He hears it from us on the sideline because, you know, I care for him. I care for his knee. You know, it's just unnecessary hits that, you know, sometimes he shouldn't take. But he definitely hears it from us, the coaches, his teammates, everybody. We all tell him. Hopefully he'll learn soon.
Zach Passmell right there with him. Hey, listen, if Zach and David have that little, you know, look at me, you know, that little look at me thing before I run a route, I can understand why Zach wants to keep him on the field, but I also know they're good friends. So, David, I have some advice for you, and please listen.
Slide to the left. Slide to the right.
You heard me. Just slide.
Slide to the left.
Listen, I might have to convince people to put up the big signs. Remember with Forrest Gump, watching Forrest Gump run, Forrest, stop, stop. We might have the big old signs that say, David, slide. David, slide. We got to get the PA announcer to maybe play the cha-cha slide. Maybe that'll hit him subliminally.
Crisscross!
But listen, David's going to have to learn to slide, because to not slide against Hampton's one thing, but if you're not going to slide against, you know, the next two games, App State, NC State, the big boys, that's just, oh yeah, that's not good. That's not a good recipe for success. So, David, please.
Slide to the left. Slide to the right.
I'm not as concerned about David Washington learning us to slide as I am about the kicking game. And I know, I'm talking about the kicking game. Listen, the only time you talk about the kicking game is when they kick a game winner or when they're not good. And unfortunately, at this point, to me, it looks like it could be an issue. Chris Curley, to me, looks like he's out for at least a month. At least. Because I saw him walking Tuesday out of the facility, like I said earlier. He did not look good. He was walking very slow and very gingerly. So I just don't expect him for a month or maybe more. In his place, we saw Bailey Cate, Brad Davis, and Joe Tillman all kick extra points and one attempt a field goal. And it was adventures in kicking. It really was. I was thinking of the Navy game. Was there a student in the stands we could pull out to kick some extra points? Tillman did good, which he might be a good extra point guy because he was very dependable, and I think that'd be good for him. But the field goal kicking is going to be a major issue. There was one attempt. Butler missed a 25. I'm sorry, Brad Davis missed a 25-yard attempt, and it wasn't even close. And that's not good because, you know, as these games go on, they're going to be close. We're going to be playing a lot more closer games, ODU is, and games are going to come down to one or two points. You might need a 35-yarder, a 40-yarder, and I don't see that right now. I think I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. I think Bailey Cate has the strongest leg, but I hear he's not a real good field goal kicker. So it'll be interesting to see this next game. I can't believe I'm going to say I'm going to be watching the kickers the next game. But, yeah, I'm actually going to be keeping an eye on the kicker because kickers, you don't like to talk about them, but they can cost you a game really, really quick. I wouldn't be surprised if I can't believe I'm saying this. A Walkman Tillman gets the field goal, the extra point duties, and they figure out the kicking duties. I'm also a little concerned with the kicking. The punt game looked good, but some of the kickoffs didn't go real deep. They were going to the 10 and 15 yard line. And as you face more and more athletic teams with better athletes, I think that might be too short. You're going to be really giving them good field position. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on, the kicking game in general. I mean, what's Bobby going to do? Because, like I said, kicking can lose you a game real quick. It's very rare it wins you one, but man, it can lose you one real quick or make you second guess going for it, make you second guess going for two. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see him go for two more. So it is going to be interesting to see how that works out. But it was a big win for the Monarchs. As we know, hey, listen, you want to start out 1-0. And Bobby knew they came in as a favorite, and you got to win games like this.
We're supposed to win this game. We're heavy favorites, and sometimes that's hard. You look around college football this weekend, boy, you see the upsets. You see what Richmond did, teams like that. So you're leery of that, but I felt like today our guys played fast. They played physical. We were good in all three phases. There's a lot to work on. We got a lot coming out of this, but to get a 33-point win on opening day is a good deal.
All right, it's a good win. Nice first win. Time for some player interviews coming up after the break. We will hear from Isaiah Harper, sophomore wide receiver, and Anthony Wilson, linebacker, coming up.
Here with Isaiah Harper on the Monarch Asylum podcast. Isaiah, first of all, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. How was practice today?
It went really well today.
Let's look back in Hampton real quick. One reason I wanted to talk to you was you kind of lined up all over the place. You had a couple rushes. You had a catch. Very instrumental in the punt return game. What did you think of the team's overall performance?
I think we improved in a lot of places this year. I think we... We're focused on the process of winning this year, so we're always looking forward. But I think this year we have something special. So
it's interesting that you guys put up 54 points, but maybe could have put up more. And looking at the game, there were some plays still left out there to be made. A couple missed passes, a couple drops. What's kind of the thought process? Where's the offense right now after looking at that game?
I think that we played really well, but I think we still have a long ways to go. Because I feel like we're more capable of what we did. How we played last week. So, I believe that we got greater things in store for us.
Now, we were talking to some of the players after the game, and even Coach Wilder talked about it. I'm expecting to see a lot of fans hold up big signs to say, David Washington, please slide. Have you guys talked about that? I know a couple guys mentioned that they were picking on him about it. But how serious do you think he needs to take that, and do you guys want him to take that?
I think he should take it serious. We practice it a lot in practice. We don't hit the quarterback and all that, but... especially coming off an injury, you want to make sure that he makes it through the whole season safely. But, I mean, when you're an athlete like David, you just want to compete. So when you're in the game, that adrenaline's going. I mean, you can understand it, but we want everybody to be safe and play this whole year. So,
do you think we got the full look at the offense? Because I saw we finally got to see a touchdown to a tight end, and we saw how they lined up Melvin and some of the other guys all over the place. I still think that the offense is going to look a little different than fans are used to. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. I think we have a couple of surprises and some new things that we put in. And I mean, it's when you bring in new guys, you kind of shift your offense towards different people and things. But we're well balanced, so I think that's a good thing.
All right, I want your reaction when I bring up 49-0 to App State. What runs through your mind?
I mean, no one wants to lose 49-0, so I mean, we're going to come ready to play because they're a really good football team last year and this year because we've seen them play, we watched some film on them. But I think that we're going to go down there and we're going to play hard like we do every week, and we're going to try to come out with a W.
Do you guys feel a little like a different team? Because everything I see in here is, and I see it too, bigger, a little stronger, a little deeper, a little faster, kind of across the board.
We're always focused on the next year. We're not the same team as last year. We don't like to be compared to the team last year because we are a different team. So, I mean, that's the main difference. We're not the same anymore. We're better, I believe.
What about the black unis? You get to break them out this week, right?
Coach hasn't said anything about it yet, so I mean, I can't speak on it because he hasn't said anything.
They're doing a whiteout at App State. I mean, it pretty much has to be, right?
We will hope so. But, I mean, I guess it'll be out there later, but I'm not sure myself, so.
All right, Isaiah Harper, thanks for the time, man, and have a good season.
All right, thank you.
All right, here with Anthony Wilson, senior linebacker. How you doing today?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
Just walked off the practice field. I'm doing great, but just walked off the practice field. How was preparation for App State going?
It's going great. We're just taking one day at a time, you know what I'm saying, trying to get better. We don't watch film on them. They're a really great team, so we're just trying to do what we have to do to be a better team on Saturday. So.
let's look back at Hampton real quick. I know it's probably still a little fresh in the mind, but the defense to me, it looks like it started out a little slow, but then really after the first quarter really started to settle down. What did you see from your unit as a whole out there?
I think we just settled down. Coming out since the offense was on the field and they scored real quick, I don't think we was expecting to just jump on the field that fast. But after that first drive, we settled it down, and then they scored right before halftime. And after that, we just had to just keep settling and keep settling and keep settling. And then we just picked it up. And from there, we just took over.
The big guys in front of you, we saw four sacks, multiple pressures. It looks like they were pushing the envelope. What did you see from them?
The same thing they've been doing all camp. They did that all camp with sacks and getting pressure. So it wasn't a surprise to see what they did on Saturday versus Hampton.
Let's spin it forward to actually, I wanted to ask you about this. We were talking to Aaron Young after the game, and he said that extra day, he thought it kind of helped you guys when it got pushed back to Sunday. You guys had an extra day in the hotel together. You guys kind of had almost like a bonding moment.
Yeah, I think we needed that bonding moment right before the first game to get everybody to come together as a group. And since, you know, usually we leave on Friday and then have to, you know what I'm saying, play that next day. But that extra day in the hotel gave us all room to come together and be a team for Sunday's game.
You said there was a lot of card playing and some team stretches?
Oh, yeah. We played Monopoly. We usually play that as a team. So a bunch of us were playing the Monopoly in the room, a bunch of cards going. Everybody had the game system. So the coaches had us doing team stretching so we can stay active since we were sitting in the hotel for 2 days. So
who won a Monopoly?
Me, of course.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, of course. Me and David Washington, he's real good at Monopoly, so he's been winning.
Nice. Spinning forward to App State, I mean, when I say the score 49-0, what runs through your mind?
That was last year. We're really not worried about that right now. We're just worried about this year and what we can do this year instead of what happened last year. It's a whole new team, and we're just taking a whole new approach to the game.
Do you think it's something, I keep hearing how you guys are bigger, faster, stronger, a little deeper, and you can kind of see it. Do you think maybe that might sneak up on some teams, that they may not expect that?
I feel that'd help us, you know what I'm saying, having depth in pretty much every position on the team. That definitely helps us.
What's the next step this defense needs to make?
Just getting better every day. We're just taking it one day at a time.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good season. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Baby, you did it wrong. Whoa, darling, you did it wrong. I know that I am dead on. When I say you gon' know me, you did it wrong. Come.
Well, as we enter the last block of the Monarch Asylum podcast, episode 2, season 2, Double Deuce, I always tell you the songs we've heard today. First one, actually our intro song is The Fratellis, Chelsea Dagger. It's one of my favorite songs. I always really like that song. And they also, if you're a Blackhawks fan, that's the song they play when they score a goal. So, yeah, I noticed that during the hockey playoffs and was like, hey, they got good choice in music. So Chelsea Dagger, The Fratellis, they're a very good band. You should check them out if you like that song. Clear Skies by Keane, chosen for obvious reasons, because it was wasn't completely clear skies on Sunday, but it was a lot better than the rain we had on Saturday. Keane's one of my favorite groups. If you like Coldplay, check out Keane. The next song we heard before the interviews from the student athletes was School Days by the great Dizzy Gillespie. I love old jazz music, so I always want to drop that in there every now and then. And the last song, just heard about a minute ago, Honey El Khatib with Dead Wrong. Like him, he's pretty good too. He hasn't done a whole lot, but, you know, good little rock and roll, mixes it up with some old school beats. I like that. But he Dead Wrong, I played that one because I'm hoping I'm dead wrong. Because I know going into App State favored by 20 points this weekend, well, at the time of this recording, it was around 20 points. I'm hoping the experts are wrong, kind of like we just heard Bobby say a couple blocks ago, how ODU is expected to win a game by 25 over Hampton. Well, App State's expected to win by 20 over ODU. So ODU's got to buck the trend this week. Listen, they all remember last year, 49-0 at SB Ballard Stadium. A game I remember everyone was, it was a measuring stick game, and well, we were very short. We did not measure up at all, the Monarchs. Bobby called it an embarrassment, And the players remember it too.
We think about that game all the time. You know, we're just hungry for the next game, and now we're just focused on Appalachian State. So, no, we're hungry for them from last year, so we got to get our payback and get a win.
Nobody wants to lose 49-0 to a team, and, you know, definitely that loss is still in our heart, so we're going to come out this week and play our best.
That was the Baby Bull and Zach Pascal talking about the App State loss last year. Listen, this whole team is focused on that, but they feel they're a different team. As Isaiah Harper said, this is not the same team from last year, obviously. I mean, every year it's different. But with the experience they have, they know they're different. And, you know, it'll be curious to see with a lot of the same names that App State will be facing. I wonder if they do take them lightly. I mean, I don't think they do. I don't think App State, a program that does that. But they got the University of Miami looming next. So this is one of those traditional trap games, which I'd love to see them fall a trap for. But Bobby Wilder talked about the Tennessee App State game after the ODU, in the ODU press conference after the Hampton win. And, you know, that was a game that in the trenches that really App State controlled. Bobby said that if neither one of those teams had uniforms, you would have thought the App State team was the SEC team. They dominated that much. And that was really a game that App State should have won. I mean, App State, the Mountaineers have proved over and over that their win over Michigan several years ago was not a fluke. They've built on it. What I'm interested to see in this game, too, I think they have very similar offenses, the Monarchs and the Mountaineers. Listen, against Tennessee, App State had 43 total rushes for 184 yards, and they held Tennessee to 43 rushes for 127 yards. That's only 3 yards per carry. And they're led by a senior running back, Marcus Cox. He likes to run. He runs the ball. So it's going to be one of those bruise-em games. It's going to be played in the trenches. It's going to be, I think, a lot of running, a lot of play action. I think both teams are very similar in how they run their offense. It's going to be a great challenge for the D-line and the offensive line. I mean, particularly the D-line. We heard they're better. We heard they're deeper. We saw the depth of first game with some of the backups getting those sacks. And the O-line is really going to be challenged. They're going to see some little better athletes than they had against Hampton. ESPN has the predictor. ODU has a 10% chance to win this game. And like I said, it's a 20 to 21 point spread. Now, here's where I'm hoping a little karma kicks in. App State normally wears black. This time they're going to wear white. It's going to be a complete whiteout. And ODU is going to be in black. So maybe the football gods in Boone, North Carolina get confused and look down and smile upon those in the black uniforms and don't realize that it's the old switcheroo this time. I don't know. I'm looking for any edge we can get. Sometimes, you know, a little divine intervention never hurts if it can happen once in a while. But it's going to be a big challenge for this ODU team. And listen, their confidence is high. And listen, they're a fun team to watch. They play together. They play for each other, which I think is also very important, being a team that's been together for so long. And it's a perfect challenge for this team right now. It's not too big a team. It's not too small a team. It's an excellent team from another conference. So this is why you put this team on the schedule. You know, if this is the best D-line and the offensive line, the best that this school, Old Dominion, has ever had, then they're going to have to play like it to get a win down in Boone, North Carolina. I don't think it's going to happen. I really hope it does. All I know is if it's a close game, ODU has a chance because they always play well when the games are close. They always seem to make the play when it matters. And as I said in previous podcasts, particularly the first one, that's a credit to Bobby and how he coaches the situational football. Always having guys, usually the first, if they're in a situation in a game, it's not the first time they've experienced it. Bobby usually puts them through those drills and practices. So they're always very well prepared. All right, it's time for some trivia. I hope we have some trivia fans out there. Joey Verhey with the touchdown catch in the first game against Hampton. Who was the last Monarch tight end to catch a touchdown in a game? It didn't happen in 2015, I'll tell you that much. You got to go back to 2014 to find that one. But that is the trivia question for today. Who was the last tight end before Joey Verhey caught a touchdown pass against Hampton? Who was the last tight end to catch a touchdown in a game? Listen, I have to thank our two sponsors. First of all, hit me up on Twitter for an answer. That's at ODU Asylum. You can put hashtag Monarch Asylum, please, or just send it to ODU Asylum. I usually follow everyone who follows me. So I don't know if we want to private message it so no one can cheat. So I only have a certain one. So let's do that. Why don't you send me a private message? Because if you follow me, I follow you. It's kind of a courtesy I do across everybody. But I want to thank my two sponsors first and foremost. We have Andrea's Family Pizzeria, which is a great Italian restaurant. I used to work in it when I first started going to college at Old Dominion. That's where I waited tables. A great family, great food, great Italian. Listen, if you want old school Italian food, it's the place to go. They have two locations, both in Chesapeake, one on 940 Cedar Road, not too far from the campus of TCC, and the other one, 236 Carmichael Way, also in Chesapeake, Virginia. You also can go to their website, andreaspizzeria.com, for more information. But it is definitely good Italian food if you want it. And our other sponsor is Newman's Pharmacy. That's in the heart. It's Newman Family Health Mart Pharmacy. That's right in the heart of Great Bridge, 800 Battlefield Boulevard South, Suite 105. Scott Newman, an old friend of mine, runs it. And listen, I believe in supporting local businesses. I try to go as many local businesses as possible. I think it's good for the community. I think it's better going to the big boxes. It might cost an extra penny sometimes, but I think it's worth it, especially when you can support your community. I really think that's what it's all about, if you can make that happen. Now, listen, as far as the Monarchs, listen, it's going to be an adventure down in Boone. It's definitely going to be an adventure down there in Boone. So I think, like I said, I don't know if they can pull it off, but I think they have the tools to do it. If they do it, it's going to be one of those smash mouth games, which they've shown they can win those. So I don't know. Let's see. Wait, listen, like I said, if this is the first time you've listened, I appreciate it very much. I hope you like the show. It's really kind of fluid right now. I have some different guests on. I try and get the players. The university's great for giving me that. If you have been listening to the show and you know, I want your feedback on this new format. If you like the game recap off the top, if you like that. But once again, thanks for tuning in to the Monarch Asylum podcast. My name is David Agudelo. Old Dominion Monarchs are 1-0. Let's get down to Boone. Let's make it 2-0. All right, have a good week. We'll see you here next time.